waited for me, I searched for you. What took me so long? I was looking outside, as if love would ever want to hide. I'm finding I was wrong, 'cause I can feel the wind before it hits my skin.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to St. Stephen's Online Church this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. If you are regular here or new, we are very glad that you're with us. Lighting the Christ candle each week gives us a visual focus and a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. He draws us to himself to fill us with the same light so that we may share it with others. Would you join me in the call to worship? As people, as a group, as a community of faith, we gather in this place to listen, to speak, to worship, to pray, to be with God, because we know it is out of God's authority, it is out of God's love that we live. Alleluia.
Will you join me in saying together our prayer of confession? Gracious God, we thank you for this extraordinary world and its reminders of resilience, grace, hope, and life. For when grass shoots break through concrete, when the sun emerges after storms, for when people offer laughter in deep sadness. In these moments, we see glimpses of who you are, and we are grateful. Yet if we reduce you to being like the cycle of nature or the best of humankind, we diminish your power to make the impossible real, to break apart the impenetrable evils of oppression, to cast out the very real fears that paralyze us, to banish the insidious demons of judgment and worthlessness. Forgive us, God, when we do not trust you to deal with the unspeakable awfulness in our lives and world. Forgive us when we contribute to the brokenness of the world and the lives of people around us. Forgive us when we trust darkness more than we trust your light. Make us new again, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Scripture says that those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, the new has come. So hear Christ's word of grace for us today. Your sins, our sins, are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's scripture is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we are. Just 20 verses into the Gospel of Mark, a book that we will be spending a significant amount of time in this next year. And, well, there's only really one way to say this. It didn't take long for things to get weird, did it? No sooner has Jesus called his first disciples than he heads off to a local synagogue to do some teaching and runs headlong into an unclean spirit, which is really just a more palatable way of saying an evil spirit. I guess I kind of belong to the camp that thinks that there's really no point in trying to avoid these bits, even though the whole idea leaves many of us feeling uneasy for a variety of reasons. Either we find ourselves just wanting to avoid the whole topic altogether, or we get a little bit obsessed and we find ourselves not able to really focus on anything else but that. Neither of those is particularly healthy or a good option. As C.S. Lewis quite famously said on this subject, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and an unhealthy interest in them. However comfortable or uncomfortable the idea of malevolent spirits might be to our contemporary sensibilities, if you're going to take Jesus and the stories of his life seriously, then we can't avoid the reality that such things have long been a part of life. So how do we acknowledge their reality without giving them too much airtime, as Lewis cautions? Well, I actually think it might be helpful if we approach the stories that have these obvious elements of spiritual battle in them in the same way, really, that we approach any other stories from Scripture, by asking them, what does this show us about God? In this case, more specifically, what does this actually show us about Jesus? So, what does this whole episode show us about him? Well, there are, as is often the case, a number of paths we could take as we try to answer this question. We could explore how Jesus' ability to set that man free from that spirit was evidence that God's kingdom had arrived, and that God was evicting all who would consider themselves enemies of God's reign in this world. We could also focus on how this dramatic miracle shows us Jesus' heart and his intention that all people be made whole and healthy, set free from whatever might be hindering them from finding that full, abundant life God has for us. Or, then again, we could hold this up as dramatic evidence of Jesus' authority over anything or anyone who would oppose God's good purposes. There are a number of points to be made from this story, but today, in the limited time that we have together, I've chosen for us to focus on the one that it seems to me that Mark is kind of focusing on. Namely, that third path that I just mentioned, how this whole visit to the synagogue and all that happened in it seems to be a vivid display of Jesus' authority, an authority that it sounds like was evident to just about everybody that was there. Well, as we've heard, our reading is really just one scene. Jesus and his newly called disciples have made their way to Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, they head to the local synagogue in that town, where Jesus did some teaching, a common thing, actually, for visiting rabbis to do. We're told that the people were amazed at Jesus, recognizing an authority in him that was new and different from anything they'd experienced before. As we've heard, he also caught the attention of an evil spirit that was living within a man who was there. The spirit cried out, disrupting things, and Jesus responded simply and directly, commanding the spirit to both be quiet and to come out of the man. Well, the spirit did as it was told, and again we hear that people were absolutely amazed. They said, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." Both his teachings and that dramatic exorcism show us that he seemed to embody a profound authority that was apparently evident for those who had gathered that day. So you might ask, what exactly does that mean? That Jesus had authority? Well, it's a great question. It's actually a question that I was asked as part of a New Testament class I took when I was in theological school. Our professor posed that question at the beginning of a section we were working on, and then he left us in the class to chew on it together for an entire week. What does it mean that Jesus has authority? Well, my fellow students and I were pretty green at that point, and so you can probably imagine some of the things that we ventured on the topic. I'm not going to share any of them with you today, although if I did, you might wonder about the wisdom of the church setting any of us loose on you. Some of the commentators I read this week on this passage, they took a run at answering this question as well, and their thoughts are actually helpful for us as we try to get our heads around what this very important statement about Jesus actually means. William Barclay noted that unlike other teachers of the day, Jesus doesn't seem to feel the need to support his teachings with the backing of any other respected teachers. Like as if I was to say, as Phil has said, Jesus doesn't do that. He just said what he had to say. And within it, people seem to recognize a sense of completeness and of absolute truth that is characteristic of God's words to us. Jesus said it, and it was. Another commentator described this authority as a directness. He says it was akin to the stark command to follow without explanation, like what we heard in those call stories we've been spending time together with over the last 2 weeks. Recalling those stories is actually quite helpful. The stories of Jesus calling those first disciples, thinking about that helps us as we try to get a sense of what it must have been like to experience Jesus' authority in person. As strange as it might seem, those men that he called were all convinced to trust him, and they were compelled to follow him when he called. The people in the synagogue this day seem to have been impacted in much the same way. They were convinced that he was, as we say, the real deal. And as we heard from the end of today's reading, they were compelled themselves to leave the synagogue that day and to go and to tell others about him. Well, my professor from that class finally did weigh in with his own thoughts about what it means that Jesus has authority. At the point that he was teaching us, he was 40 years into a career in biblical scholarship, and so I think his thoughts are worth sharing with you today. They've stuck with me since that week. He said that over the course of his studies of Jesus' life, he's come to believe that it means quite simply that Jesus did what he said. He did what he said. He was describing this deep sense of integrity we see in Jesus' life. Not just things like, he said he would heal someone and he did, although that's certainly part of it. But it runs deeper than even that. It captures that he actually lived everything he taught. His very life was an embodiment of all that he taught about God and about the kingdom life God has for us. There was no inconsistency in Jesus, nothing that would give us reason to pause, to doubt. Just a deep sense of the truth in what he said, of the truth in who he was, and of the rightness in what he was doing. Well, I wonder if you recognize this in Jesus yourself. Do you find him both convincing and compelling? I can remember when that sort of started for me. I was reading through the four Gospels and I kept having this sense that the things I heard him saying and I was reading about him doing, that they were true. They seemed to exhibit things that I had always thought about how life should be, how I wished life really was. When he taught about God's kingdom, it was a place I felt like I'd always longed for. It was this sense of truth integrated through all that he said and all that he was. That's what really compelled me to choose to follow him. I guess you could say I was actually compelled by his authority. Well, you know, ultimately, I think we all face this question. Do we recognize an authority in Jesus that is both convincing and compelling to us? Because as we've heard from our stories of Jesus calling these men over those last 2 weeks, He doesn't just ask us to believe him. He asks us to follow, to live as he leads. He asks us not just to recognize his authority in general, but to give him authority in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a younger person. It was in the days leading up to the inauguration of President Biden in the U.S. This person was lamenting the state of things, not just in America, but in the whole world. And he was wondering how much difference a new president in the U.S. really might make. I sensed a yearning in him, a yearning that I know many of us recognize. It's the longing for someone better, for a better leader, for someone who can restore us to a good course, a course that means that life gets better, fuller, freer. I really mean no disrespect to any human leader. Many, many are good people with good intentions. But I truly believe that none of our human leaders, good as they may be, none of them can themselves take us to that life that we deeply long for. Jesus is the only one I've ever discovered who we can actually trust to do that. And you know, maybe that is actually one of the most helpful ways to understand what it means when we say that Jesus has authority. He's the one. He's the one we can trust. I think that also explains why it matters so very much that he is the one that God has actually entrusted that authority to. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, we welcome you into the sanctuary of our hearts, that your deep peace takes entire possession of each one of us. We are in awe of your deep, overwhelming goodness in every part of life, even the difficult parts. Help each of us to surrender ourselves in trust that you walk with us in even the difficult times. Help each of us to surrender ourselves in trust that you walk with us in the deeply painful times, both physical and spiritual. Help us to move to new hope, new joy, that we can sing a new song to you, the Lord. We pray this day for North America as it struggles with the polarization of facts. May we all instead stop our journey forward to be grounded in your love and to pay attention to where the signs of your love are beginning to show in the people that surround us and those people who seem completely foreign to us, yet are yours indeed. We pray for all the government officials that they too discern decisions with integrity in every action and policy that is made. We pray for all who are sick, both physically and mentally. We pray that each person will come to realize that they do not need to walk this difficult road alone. May our health workers, be it doctors, nurses, and every other kind of health worker, always treat their patients with compassion and share coping styles in a clear manner. We pray that all people recognize that our Lord offers compassion, peace, and mercy, whatever the situation. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Once again, we thank you for your faithful giving that keeps the ministry and work of this church going. Let's join together in dedicating our gifts to God's purposes. Generous God, we have the means to give. We have the reason to give, and there are many waiting for us to give. Yet often our hands hold back, so we ask for the grace to help us live and give in your kingdom of love, where there are no enemies, only brothers and sisters, and kindness is the air we breathe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we go today, we have a few announcements. The first is a reminder that we are approaching the day of the coldest night of the year walk, an activity that has become particularly precious for some of us at St. Stephen's. It's happening again, as you heard in your announcements last week from Kevin. It's happening this year in a virtual way. We will still be walking, but not in a large group in the way we normally do. So if you are interested in participating in that walk and supporting the very worthy cause of providing resources to those in our community who are the most vulnerable, then I encourage you to go to our church website or check out your announcements, where you'll find a link to the Coldest Night of the Year page where you can register to walk or find a way to support those who are walking. We hope you will join us as part of St. Stephen's Stompers this year. I also want to draw your attention to another post on our church website. It's a news item, and it has information on the vaccines that are being offered in Canada and the immunization program for rolling those out to us. I took part in a webinar last week with Dr. Teresa Tam, and they have asked us to try to help to get accurate information to the people we're in contact with. So on our website, you will find links to three different websites from the federal government and the provincial government with the latest information on the vaccines, on their development, their approvals process, and also on the actual rollout here in BC. So if you're looking for accurate information that's just straight from the government with not really interpretation added to it, I encourage you to check out those links. And finally, I want to do something that I did last year, a number of months ago, and that's encourage you to reach out to someone else from St. Stephen's this week. I wonder if maybe you might want to think about somebody you would normally have connected with when we would gather here in person in this sanctuary. Maybe it's a person you often found yourself sitting near, or maybe it's a person you sought out during the coffee hour. Whoever it is for you, I really encourage you to take a moment to think about them and then maybe pick up the phone and give them a call. We are finding that January is a tough time for people. People are feeling increasingly isolated, and some are having a hard time. And this is one way that we can try to recover and hold on to the very precious connection that comes for us as part of the church family. So I encourage you to make some time to maybe do that this week. Friends, go forth replenished by the grace and mercy of God, blessed by the healing love of Jesus, and energized by the limitless power of the Holy Spirit. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen. Thank you.